What is up? Welcome to another edition of the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast. It's me, your man, MG Marcus Grant, alongside the Fantasy Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano, and the Fantasy Viper, Graham Barfield. And we're mostly through 1 week of the playoffs. And I guess the first thing I'll say is injuries, man.
Ooh. Dude, between all the injuries and all the defenses that just did not show up, it was a wild week 14. But the injuries too, and what stinks is, like, so for example, I was texting with Jerry Cantrell yesterday. He's got a bye in the Allison Chains League, and he has Mike Evans. I texted him, I'm like, oh man, Evans just had a really bad hamstring pull. He's like, oh man. He's like, well, you know, at least I got Devontae Parker on my bench. 2 minutes later, I texted him, Parker just got hurt. What?
Oh.
I mean, it was just that kind of day where everyone seemingly got bit by the injury bug.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll do a new section in just a little bit. That's pretty much going to be the bulk of it.
I know, man.
Guys who were hurt and, you know.
What do you do about it?
What you may have to do about that.
Yeah.
We got plenty to talk about, though. Of course, a lot of our big questions for Week 14. Plus, as we get to the end of the NFL regular season, as teams are out of playoff contention, guys with some nagging injuries, should you worry about some of these players being shut down potentially, and maybe how you work around that as well? Plus, hey man, the waiver wire is still open for those of you who are surviving and advancing through the playoffs, because that is what you need to do. And of course, you may have to make some adjustments if you somehow survive some of these injuries. So we'll talk about that as well. But before we do that, we'll go behind the glass, talk to our faithful producer, Senior Edward L. Murphy, Esquire. Murph, what's up?
Yeah, speaking of playoffs, looks like I eked out a 5-point win in our fantasy listener league that we did the draft way back in the day.
So my team has been trashing that.
What was your seed?
I was the five.
No,
well, four or five.
Here's what happened. Eddie beat the out of me back in week 14. I think you put up like 140 or 150 on me to get into the playoff spot, and then you kicked me out.
Oh, I did.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So I apologize. You had a better team.
My team was actually all right, and even though my quarterback Russell Wilson last night wasn't that great, but it looks like I am moving on.
So I got to see, because I have the two seed, so I had a bye this week, so I've got to see who I'm rolling up against.
Yeah.
I don't think if you're the five, unless the six won,
I can check for you.
Yeah, because I mean, I don't know what you guys do, but I always reseed, because then what the hell's the point of having number one and two seeds if you don't get to play, you know, the worst seed in the second round of the playoffs? So I'm not sure who I would face, but if you're the five, I'm guessing the six probably lost, but who knows?
I am the five, and I played the four. I beat the four, 129 to 124.
Right, so the six seed, I'm assuming the six seed lost. Do we know?
I did not look at the others. I'll check the scoreboard for us right now.
Okay.
So I was saying to you guys before this that we started, like, I was in 12 leagues, 10 of them were, you know, one was a guillotine league, one's like an eliminator league. So like 10 leagues basically with a playoff structure. I made the playoffs in like seven of those leagues, and I think I may be out in pretty much all of them. I think everything went wrong.
Hey, man, at least your Tuesdays are a little lighter now, because you're going to have to put in waiver claims for 100 teams.
Like, I literally think everything went wrong this week.
So I mentioned Eddie obviously beat me last week, but I was... Don't want to humble brag, but outside of like a couple leagues, I had a bunch of first round buys, and I feel very fortunate to have missed this.
I know, dude. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Everybody's roster is looking really
shambles
right now.
Yeah. That Allison Chains league that I'm in, I have Deshaun Watson, and I remember thinking, he's going to do it to me again, isn't he? He's going to do it to me again. Watson is going to stink.
What?
And he ended up having a huge game, but he started slow, man.
Garbage time.
He started slow.
Garbage points.
Yes, so I advanced.
All right, let's dive into some of this ugliness. Let's do some news.
Let's do the news.
We will start in Tampa. And it was a thing that I tweeted fairly early on Sunday. The good news is that on a particular play, Mike Evans scored a really long touchdown. The bad news is that as soon as he crossed the goal line, he immediately reached for his hamstring.
Yep.
It was not long thereafter that the Bucs ruled him out. They ruled him out very, very quickly, which suggested that it was going to be a bad situation. After the game, Bruce Arians said it didn't look good. Now the report is the Bucs are not expecting to have him back soon, which, considering their status, that they are officially limited from the playoff contention, probably means Mike Evans' season is over. Certainly for fantasy purposes, his season is likely over at this point. So Fab's Rashad Perriman. How are you feeling about that?
I mean, I guess, yeah. I mean, dude, they're playing Detroit, right? I mean, but if you have Chris Godwin, you got to be loving life right now. Although he's probably going to draw Darius Slay now next week, which may or may not be a good thing. And you've also got to worry about Jameis Winston, who had a tiny fracture, I guess, in his hand.
Yes.
Initially, I had seen on Twitter that he was benched, and I was like, oh, my God, that's weird. But it wasn't. He had just hurt himself. Then, I guess, adrenaline kicked in. He was fine. So you have to worry about Winston. You have to keep tabs on his status. But Perriman, I mean, maybe Marcus Johnson, maybe Zach Pascal off the waiver wire. There's A.J. Brown's probably going to be the number one ad off the waiver wire,
right.
Not named DeAndre Washington this week. So, yeah, it stinks, man. These injuries this week couldn't come at a worse time for fantasy owners. And, you know, of course, injuries are a never good thing when we're talking about the players. We always want them to be out there healthy and out there kicking butt.
The real news here, guys, O.J. Howard has 60 or more yards.
I know, O.J. Howard.
Games,
and Cameron Brink scored, too.
Yeah, both Bucks tight ends had pretty decent days when it was all said and
so done. Who do you guys feel like is the better pickup then? Is it O.J. Howard against Detroit, or do you think Perriman? Right? Because, I mean, both of those...
Perriman. I think he's got a higher ceiling than Howard right now.
I don't know. I don't know with O.J. Howard. I have no idea. Rashad... you mentioned Rashad Perriman.
This is a couple of games in a row now where he's had pretty decent stats.
Yeah, Rashad Perriman. I always feel like he has a high ceiling, but just, like, he's... I mean...
People forget. He was a first-round pick, right? Baltimore? Yeah. Wasn't it Baltimore picked him in the first round?
They've chucked it deep to him a few times this year, too. I don't know. It'll probably be some sort of gross, like... I don't know. Chris Godwin will get like 15 targets, and then they'll just split everything else after that.
I mean, so here is I was reading this morning that, you know, there's some talk that O.J. Howard could be on the trading block, and you do wonder whether or not this means that the Bucks maybe showcase him a little bit. I mean, look, he's on the trading block. Jameis Winston is playing for a new contract, whether that's in Tampa or somewhere else. This could just be a situation in the next few weeks. They just kind of rip it and just let it go.
It's kind of wild. They're in full-on evaluation mode, and they're in second in the division at 6-7. Like, they could theoretically finish the year at 500.
Right.
still be miles behind.
And that backfield, too. Remember that there was, like, a quick moment where we're like, oh, man, now we can trust Ronald Jones.
That was a fun 2 weeks. That was a fun.
Not so much. Now they have, like, three dudes that they're using pretty regularly with Dari in there as well. So, although they got, again, Lions this week. I mean, then you're tempted. It's like, do I play Rojo this week?
Yeah, no, I think I've cured myself of that illness.
Only for him to get vultured by Peyton Barber near the goal line.
Yeah, I'm inoculated to that one right now.
Inoculated. How about that?
You like that? Elsewhere, Patrick Mahomes is going to have x-rays on his throwing hand. Went out and had an okay day. I mean,
no, he didn't. He had 13 points.
Okay, so he didn't have an okay.
He didn't have an okay.
Yeah, 283 passing yards.
The Chiefs won.
A touchdown and a pick. He ran for 6 yards. So yeah, no, it wasn't a great day.
Hey guys, can we sorry to cut you off.
No.
Denver and Chicago the next 2 weeks.
That's where I was
Patrick
going.
Patrick Mahomes is not a must start.
That's where
is
I was
he?
Going.
Is
that's,
he?
Yes.
Honestly, is he?
Yes.
He's a must start.
Yes.
He's been lousy from a fantasy perspective in two of his last 3 games.
Babs, who are you starting over him, man? Sam Darnold?
Ryan Tannehill.
Ryan
Tannehill's
maybe.
Killing him.
Sure, maybe. But at the same time, I mean, this is the same Patrick Mahomes who has the potential to throw for 450 yards and 4 touchdowns.
But where's it been? He's at 283, 175, 182 in his last 3 games.
He literally threw for 400 yards and 3 touchdowns.
So let's fast forward, right? Because like week 15, I think Tannehill has an advantage schedule rise, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Week 16, it's championship week. You're still alive. Patrick Mahomes has the Bears.
The Bears.
Ryan Tannehill has New Orleans. And, like, forget what happened yesterday against the 49ers, right? The Saints defense is still good.
Bears front seven is very good, but that secondary has been burnable for the past 2 years. So, Mahomes.
Yeah. Would you play Matt Ryan over Mahomes? He's playing Jacksonville in the fantasy championship week. Jacksonville's quit. See, you got to think, and that's where we're at right now.
But Matt Ryan's like a top 5 or 6 fantasy quarterback this year.
No, he's not.
He's probably still on a lot of roster.
He's on a lot of roster, but he'd been lousy up until yesterday.
Yeah.
So, you know, over the last several weeks.
I mean, look, Mahomes has had a couple bad games back-to-back. He did not play well 2 weeks ago against Oakland. Then, you know, last week was against New England on the road. Not totally surprising that he didn't show up. And then, you know, back in week 7, he got hurt. So, I mean, it's just kind of been a weird, I guess, 5-6 weeks for him where we feel like we haven't had big games from him. But, you know, he was rock solid against the Titans and, you know, just kind of backed up a few mediocre games, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be one. That's going to be a big debate. I'm sure we'll get a lot of Twitter questions on that in the next couple of weeks. Bad news in Washington. Darius Geis suffers what's believed to be an MCL strain in their game yesterday against the Packers. He is expected to have an MRI today so the team can sort of evaluate the extent of the injury. I mean, you want to talk about a guy who just can't catch a break in his first couple years.
He's frustrated, too, man. I was texting with him this morning, actually, right now, and he just, like, he literally texted me. He's like, dude, it just stinks.
Yeah, I mean, it
I feel bad for him because he was balling, too.
That was a super weird injury. We kind of got upended and landed on the leg weird. And
We'll wait to see exactly how serious this might be. I mean, in the short term, does this mean we go back all in on Adrian Peterson? Chris Thompson actually got a little bit of work yesterday, too.
Yep.
Your favorite PPR magician.
Yeah, Chris Thompson is, man. He is the poster child for why PPR annoys me.
Yeah, and they've got Philadelphia, next week on the road. And remember, Philadelphia's defense is not very good on the road this season. So, you know, is Adrian Peterson and or Chris Thompson like a thing for people in need?
I mean, it might be. It really might be because we know that Bill Callahan wants to run the football. He really hasn't tried to hide it at this point. And and look, when you watch Dwayne Haskins, you know, try to move the offense, you sort of understand why.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And you know, there are quite a few teams out there who have problems at RB2, and you could probably do a little bit worse than Adrian Peterson.
Imagine that. I mean,
in the year 2019, we're still rolling rolling the dice with Adrian Peterson.
He's immortal. He's got the Frank Gore juice.
He is the, you know, which is funny because I feel like in a Highlander-like battle, they will have to fight at some point because there could be only one. So there you go. Josh Jacobs missed yesterday's game with a shoulder injury. He was a game-time decision, and at game time, the Raiders decided that he wasn't going to play. He's going to have an MRI on that shoulder, so we'll see what happens with him. The Raiders are still sort of on the edge of playoff contention, but fading quickly. You know, I would think that right now their chances of winning the division are pretty much gone. I don't know if they're officially gone, but if not, they are very much in hospice care. So we're going to talk about, you know, guys that could potentially get shut down for the season later, but at least in the short term, I guess DeAndre Washington is a dude that you got to go get right now, huh?
So that's the question too, guys.
Is it him or is it Jalen Richard?
Well, no, I think it's Washington. Mm-hmm. If you have a waiver priority this week, do you put in for Raheem Mostert or DeAndre Washington? Because Mostert,
Mostert's got the Falcons next week.
I know.
Mostert's got the Falcons next week. And the Raiders have the Jaguars.
So two great matchups, right? I mean, who do you put in a claim for?
I would lean Washington just because that 49er backfield has turned into it's a three-man.
Coleman didn't.
Yeah, Coleman is window dressing right now.
Yeah, Coleman is dead.
Coleman's getting cut in leagues right now.
Yeah, he absolutely
should.
But, you know, Breida's going to always get his 10 to 15 touches. All I'm saying is every 49ers running back, it's just ping-pongs every single week between the top scorer. And I could definitely see it ping-ponging back in Breida's favor. But you mentioned 60-40 snap split in favor of Washington yesterday.
Yes.
It's a little bit of a surprise. I kind of figured.
And he had a bunch of catches out of the backfield, too. Yeah, he was really good.
Which is weird because John Gruden refuses to use Josh Jacobs as a receiver.
I don't get it.
Yeah. But he'll use DeAndre Washington?
I don't get it.
Okay.
I don't understand.
If any season has ever made us understand one thing is that we're never going to get it.
Always be teams and coaches where the general population sees one thing, and for whatever reason, those coaches decide that that's not really how it is, or that's not what they're seeing, or whatever. Mm-hmm. This seems to be one of them.
Yeah,
I don't get it.
Yeah,
Rashad Penny very well could be done for the rest of the season.
He is.
An ACL, what they're calling a significant ACL sprain. He suffered that early in the Sunday night loss to the Rams. I mean, this is just easy, so this just means more. It's funny, though. Every time we think Chris Carson, it's like Godfather 3, right?
Actually is good. Godfather 3 was awful. Well,
there's that part. But, like, you know, early in the year, right, Chris Carson's fumbling. We're like, here comes Rashad Penny, and Chris Carson, like, fought back and got his job back. Then, you know, a couple weeks ago, Chris Carson's fumbling. Rashad Penny comes back, and now Penny, unfortunately, is hurt.
Have you seen the schedule, by the way?
Chris Carson's going to be a league winner.
They've got Carolina.
Yeah.
Wait. They've got Carolina next, and then they play the Cardinals.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh.
So we hate when guys go down with injuries. If you are a
Chris Carson owner, this works
you are a very fortunate person.
Yeah, this works in your benefit. Which is, you know, it's, look, Chris Carson was a guy that I loved coming into the season. I thought he had the potential to be a league winner. It's just that, you know, again, Rashad Penny just kind of kept popping up and making you nervous. But in the end, it will probably turn out the way I think a lot of us anticipated.
Chris Carson, in two previous meetings against the Cardinals, he's gone over 120 scrimmage yards. And then, you know, mention the Panthers, their run defense is awful.
Devonta Freeman looked like, you know, 2015.
I know, it was nice. That was great. I needed that in a few weeks.
Yeah, that's right.
I needed that in a few weeks.
It was like a throwback. Yeah, great. Devontae Parker had a concussion that took him out of the game against the Jets. You mentioned that earlier, Fabs, which, you know, obviously it stinks because it seemed like a really good matchup for a guy who's playing really well. The hope, maybe he can work his way back in time.
Albert Wilson got hurt in that game, too.
I was going to say, so where do we go? Well, is there anywhere in that Dolphin passing game that you go, or is it just you're looking outside Miami now?
I mean, the matchup is great. Alan Hurns is going to be probably a name that people are going to mention.
The next 2 weeks, they got the Giants and the Bengals.
The thing that stinks is that Fitzpatrick was somebody that I was telling people, go pick him up.
Yeah.
Because, like, he's got a great schedule. And now, if he loses his Parker, can you play him even against the Giants?
It's hard.
With Wilson potentially, you know, out too. I mean, like,
what's funny is that they moved the ball fairly well yesterday. They just couldn't get in the end zone.
Yeah, and Ryan Fitzpatrick was their leading rusher again. Which is just hilarious.
Just wild.
Laird wasn't terrible, though.
No, he wasn't terrible. I started Laird in a league. I got 12 points out of him. Yeah. You know, like, I'm not upset about that.
No, he was fine. That's like triple the amount Kalen Ballage was.
Right, exactly.
So I'd be happy with 12.
I got 12 points out of Patrick Laird. I can't be mad about that.
I just can't in good faith tell people to start Isaiah Ford in their fantasy championship weeks. I just can't do it. So hopefully Parker's going to be okay.
Yeah, so that's one to keep an eye on during the week because, again, the matchups the next 2 weeks are really, really good. Alan Hurns is an interesting name to watch because he's a guy that I have sort of, you know, on occasion stumped for when the matchup is right, and you know, the matchups might be right. Speaking of the Giants, Daniel Jones expected to miss 2 to 4 weeks, which, you know, for our purposes, pretty much kills his fantasy season at this point, if you were even starting Jones.
Exactly.
I mean, the guy had flashes where you could sort of see what the Giants saw in him, but then he also had flashes where he looked like Jameis Winston in terms of just turning the football over.
Bad Jameis, yeah.
Bad Jameis, yes. Not good Jameis.
Well, he will end up being like one of the more popular late round targets as a QB2 next season.
I do sense there's going to be some Daniel Jones hype.
Yes,
there will be. Actually, for good reason, just because he can scramble and move a bit.
Yes.
And in theory, they will have all their weapons back because Daniel Jones, I don't know if he's played a game this year. I don't know if he's played a game this year where he's had Ingram, Barkley, Tate, and Shepard.
Yeah, he hasn't.
Yeah. I don't think he has.
And you're looking, so, you know, tonight's game, right? So you got Eli playing. You're the Giants guy, Eddie. Correct me if I'm wrong. He's never played in a regular season game with Golden Tate. He's never played in a regular season game with Caden Smith. He's obviously played with Sterling Shepard. Has he Darius Slayton? I'm guessing he's played in regular season games with him. I'm not sure.
No, Slayton's a rookie, so I don't know if he's played.
The first couple of weeks, I'm not sure.
I don't know if he's playing.
So Eli only has any kind of rapport in a regular season game with Sterling Shepard.
And Barkley.
As receiver.
I think Barkley's going to get like 10 targets tonight. He's going to get a bunch of Eli dump.
I wouldn't be surprised if Shepard was decent, but again, Philadelphia's defense is really good at home.
Yeah, the first game Darius Slayton played this year coincided with Daniel Jones' first
start.
So there you go.
So Eli hasn't played with Slayton either. So wow.
Yeah, I was looking forward to not watching Eli in primetime this year. The gods just didn't. It had to be willed in week 14.
They have Miami next week.
You can catch up on Watchmen if you.
And then they have the Redskins.
I'm watching Succession right now.
Oh, all right, cool. So there you go. That's pretty much everything you need to know.
That was the news.
All right. 4 big questions from week 14. And who knows? This will probably spin off to some other big questions that we have now. And the first one, San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Is Raheem Mostert a must start now?
I mean, I don't know about must start.
He's leading in snaps and touches. They got the Falcons.
In Atlanta.
He's an amazing flex play for sure. I don't know if he's an RB2 start, but yeah.
In a year where like we think we know things and then, you know, the rug gets pulled out from underneath us, you know, Tevin Coleman will probably have 16 touches next week. We don't know. But based on what we've seen, Raheem Mostert has looked explosive. He's been utilized in the passing game. I mean, hell, this is a guy that right now in that offense has got to be at least a flex starter, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
At least a flex starter.
I mean, look, I think a lot of us came into this week saying, look, man, you just can't trust Mostert. Matt Breed is back. The matchup's not great. Like, it's just hard. Next thing you know, I see him running for touchdowns. I see him catching a touchdown from Emmanuel Sanders. He's playing in back-to-back games, Tevin Coleman has he's played 10 snaps in back-to-back games. I think he's got something like 9 touches for 21 yards or something like that. I mean,
it's over.
It's done.
Yeah.
It's a wrap. But now, like, here's the thing. Like, the moment we get comfortable with Mostert is when Shanahanigans kick in and we go back to Matt Breida.
Well, I think Breida missed a bunch of time.
Yes.
And obviously, the 49ers they have Super Bowl aspirations, and I think Shanahan knows that Breida's definitely, I think, for sure. I mean, he probably knows he's his most talented back.
Breida's super explosive.
He is very, very good. And I wonder if they kind of limited his snaps yesterday just to kind of get him going a little bit. He only got 7 touches. I think Breida's going to play a much bigger role next week. But, you know, this is back-to-back games now where he's played over 60% of the 49ers snaps. And, you know, a little bit of that last week was you know, Tevin Coleman is just obviously falling off the face of the earth, and they didn't have Breida. But, yeah, still, I mean, Mostert is... he's their lead guy now. I mean, we can expect 12 touches here, 12 to 15 touches.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things where, like, this is like the second straight year of 49ers running backs being incredible for fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
And we just, week to week, we have
genuinely
no idea.
Which is what we thought at the start of the season, right? We were sort of hands off with this backfield because we didn't really know where to go with it. At some point, you just sort of dive in and hope you pick the right one.
All three of these guys, and even Jeff Wilson to a certain extent, one week, have had their weeks in
five. The 49ers had 5 different running backs lead.
Who's the fifth one?
Their team. They had
Richie James?
Kyle Juszczyk.
Juszczyk. Okay.
Yep.
Wow. Interesting. A bit of mild breaking news. This would interest you here, Fabs. The Cowboys are scheduled to work out 3 kickers: Kai Forbath, Tristan Viscaino, and Nick Rose.
Are we working out any coaches?
Doesn't look like it.
Damn it.
Nope. But Kai Forbath could end up as a Dallas Cowboy.
Yeah. The Cowboys will get rid of their kicker, not the coach.
As Brett Maher.
He's done.
Not great.
Stinks.
Not great.
Just like the rest of our team.
Next question from week 14. Why does Sean Payton hate us? I mean, Alvin Kamara.
Alvin Kamara is still like on the border of being like a top 10 running back for the season. But I mean, he's been a bust. I'm sorry. 2 touchdowns.
Screaming at the TV. The TVs yesterday up in the lounge, screaming for Kamara to get a touchdown. And he almost did on that second and goal carry. He got stuffed at like the half yard line. And then Drew Brees just jumps over the top. Oh my God!
I mean,
Drew Brees.
I don't have answers.
Jeez Louise!
The biggest thing has been the touchdowns, right? I mean, because you look at his number, like the total touches are pretty much on pace with what he did last year. The yards per touch, it's down, but slightly. Last year, 5.8 yards per touch. This year, 5.2. I mean, it's not a huge drop off.
Yep.
But man, in his first 2 seasons, 31 total touchdowns. This year, he has 2. I know. I like to say touchdowns are fickle beasts, but man, this
stinks.
It's crazy. And it's, you know, I know it's sort of fun to poke at the Taysom Hill factor and say, you know, why is this guy getting touches or whatever? But really the biggest thing is like carries from the 10-yard line and in. Latavius Murray has, I think, like 13 or 14,
yeah.
and Kamara is like right around 9 or 10. Like,
so I actually just pulled up their inside the 5 play sheet this year, and they've thrown it 15 times compared to 8 combined rush attempts between Kamara and Murray inside the 5. So when they get in close, it's, you know, they've kind of, it seems like they've skewed a little more pass heavy, and you know, only 5 inside the 5 touches for Kamara this year. That's very, very. Very few.
And Taysom Hill, you factor in 4. Taysom Hill as well. it's been frustrating. It really has been because you can't take him out of your lineup.
I'm saying that's the thing is that, you know, I know that people are they are worried. They are a little panicked. And next week they've got the Colts, which is not on paper an easy matchup.
Right.
I know they gave up, 38 points to the Bucks yesterday.
Yeah.
But on paper, that's not really an easy matchup. You've got Kamara, who's not really getting a sniff of the end zone right now. It's really hard to trust him.
So I think in years past, Kamara's gotten really really lucky in terms of his touchdown total, just because he's always kind of been a limited touch player. He's never been a guy where you're going to get 25 touches out of him. He's just not been that player. But I think he's definitely had some years where he's, you know, his past 2 years, he's gotten pretty lucky in the touchdown column. And this year, it's just swung the complete opposite way, where he's gotten extremely unlucky. The role has been the same since he's come back. I mean, he's been their lead guy, playing well over 70% of snaps. Latavius Murray's, you know, basically just a change of pace guy, but, you know, it's just been one of those years where he's gotten unlucky.
He has not found the end zone, and that more than anything has just completely sunk.
Yeah, he knocked me out of a playoff yesterday. I just couldn't overcome, you know, his lack of production.
I mean, right now, I mean, the difference in points, just touchdowns alone, it's 96 points, almost 100-point difference between last year and this year, just based on the touchdowns that he scored. WTF do we do with Jameis Winston?
We start him unless that hand is an issue.
I mean, but here's the thing, like, you can't even necessarily count on him based on the matchup, right? Because sometimes the matchup is good and he'll go out and throw four or five picks, right? And then yesterday, I mean, I said yesterday on our afternoon League One show that if you wanted to bottle the Jameis Winston experience and, like, bury it in a time capsule for future generations, yesterday's game is exactly the one to do. He had over 400 passing yards.
Four touchdowns
and three interceptions.
And, oh, by the way, the Colts defense, they just got road graded but still got 11 points because of Jameis.
Because Jameis.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't even know what to do. I mean, next week against Detroit, in theory, that's a really good matchup for him. But, like, Jameis is likely to go out. I mean, he'll throw for 300 yards because that's what he does, but he could throw four picks. It really is. It's just like
you're like riding, you know, on the razor's edge with him every single week. Yep, every week.
I just don't know.
And now he's got no Mike Evans. So I don't know that will matter all that much against Detroit. I still can't see a scenario where he is not a top 10 quarterback going into week 15, assuming, you know, the hand is not an issue.
Yeah. It frustrates the hell out of me.
Yeah.
No, dude, I hear you.
And every time I try to, like, stick up for Jameis Winston, every time I try to ride for him, like, is when he has some of his worst.
You know what the craziest thing about Jameis this year is? He's had an amazing floor for fantasy. Mm-hmm. Like, he's finished as, like, a top 13 fantasy quarterback, I think, now in 8 of his last 11 games. I mean, really, no other quarterback. I mean, there's very few other quarterbacks that have that level of consistency, and it's just because the volume is insane.
Yep,
it's just insane with him. He's averaging, like, he's gone over 40 pass attempts in almost every single game this year.
He's been what we kind of predicted him to be.
I mean,
he is a guy who's going to have games where he goes just absolutely ballistic, and then there's games where, you know, he's going to have, you know, four picks or whatever, like he had earlier in the season. I think that may have been it wasn't a London game, but it was a London game.
Yeah, he had like five interceptions.
Because Mitchell had an awful game in London too. Yeah. He kind of is what he is, but against Detroit,
man.
I mean, you know, just to put it into perspective, like, say you have, you know, Josh Allen's on your team and you have Jameis Winston. Josh Allen's coming off a stinker, and they've got Buffalo. Buffalo's got Pittsburgh at Heinz Field. So you're playing Winston, right? So it kind of depends on, you know, what your alternatives are.
I mean,
Winston is just, he's such a fun fantasy quarterback and just such a terrible, terrible watch.
Fun in a really
life.
Like frustrating.
Yeah.
Like,
well, no, fun for, like, just in the sense that they throw a ton.
Yeah.
He's always going to throw YOLO balls. Like,
right.
He does not care about tight windows.
He does not.
And he's been amazing for fantasy just because he's throwing so much, and he's only throwing so much because he's giving up so many, he's giving the ball back to the opposing team so many times.
Yep.
23 interceptions. I mean, he has lapped the field.
Yep.
Weird thing about Jameis.
Hey, good thing is, Marcus, he doesn't fumble either.
He doesn't.
I think he's lost five.
He's lost five. Yeah. No, I mean, here's the thing. Weird thing about Jameis. He is eighth among quarterbacks in rushing yards, which is sort of weird because he's.
Right.
Just,
yeah.
I believe it was Chris Wessling who tweeted that in the pocket, he looks like a drunken giraffe. just watching him run is awkward and uncomfortable, but somehow he has 225 rushing yards. Go figure. Last big question. So are we buying A.J. Brown now? I mean, two of his last 3 weeks have been huge. And he has been sort of kickstarted by having Ryan Tannehill at quarterback.
So has Derrick Henry, who's just been a monster.
I know.
This whole offense, you got to
watch out the practice reports this week because it was sort of rested at the end of that game yesterday because they were whacking him pretty good. But he's got that hamstring.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, If you have Derrick Henry, you may want to play it safe and pick up Deion Lewis as a handcuff this week off the waiver wire just in case. But, I mean, Derrick Henry's been just ridiculously good, matchup proof, and a guy that's been a locked and loaded RB1 for much of the season.
Last 4 weeks, Derrick Henry has right around 630 total scrimmage yards and 9 total touchdowns.
Yeah.
I mean, yep.
Just bonkers.
Just bananas.
But going back to A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
A.J., he's certainly in the flex starter conversation now. I mean, two of his last three games have been monsters. Ryan Tannehill is playing, like, I'm not going to say he's an MVP, but he's freaking playing good football. This is the best I've ever seen him play in the National Football League by a mile, okay? And, I mean, he had some stretches in Miami where he was decent. He is playing at an elite level right now when you look at the numbers. I mean, I remember talking to Scott Hansen yesterday before the game started, and I said, you know, I played Ryan Tannehill over Drew Brees, which bit me in the keister, but Tannehill was still really good. And I said, I sure hope that this isn't the week where everyone in the industry is on Tannehill and he tanks.
Hey, bombs.
And Tannehill came through and almost scored you 30 points.
Yeah. No, he did. You know, it was a matchup, kind of slower start.
Matchup is amazing next week, too, with the Texans. I mean,
they just got – they've been getting crushed. They got crushed by Drew Locke. They gave up 20-plus to two straight quarterbacks, including
that game could,
the rookie.
That game could go off, too. Titans-Texans next week, because both those defenses are not very good.
No. So, I mean, like, dude, I mean, if you came up to me and said, I'm starting Ryan Tannehill over Patrick Mahomes next week, I'd be like, yeah, okay, I get it. Which is insane to think,
man. I wouldn't have thought about that
4 months ago. That would have been sacrilege. It would have been
Ryan Tannehill.
Unreal.
He's an amazing play next week, but I don't know if I can go over Mahomes,
bro. Ryan Tannehill.
You know what?
I want to look at the numbers.
That honestly feels like the kind of move that I would agonize over on Sunday morning, and I would make the switch, and then that would guarantee Mahomes. Like,
the Chiefs get the Broncos next week, and this Broncos defense over the last like 4 or 5 weeks has started to kind of unravel a little bit. I don't think this is the same Broncos team that we kind of were used to in the past, and maybe even earlier this year we were kind of avoiding. They're not the same secondary.
Tell that to Deshaun Watson, though, who really struggled early in that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Bill O'Brien also just that whole Texans team just completely laid in the first half. They imploded.
So let me just take a quick look here, because I'm sure people are interested in this, or maybe they're not, but I want to bring it up anyway. So this week, Ryan Tannehill outscored Patrick Mahomes by about 14 points. And then in week 13, Mahomes beat him by about 6. Week before, week 12, Mahomes on a bye. Tannehill had 32 points. Week before, that was the game against Tennessee where Mahomes had a really strong game, almost 30 fantasy points. Tannehill had nearly 19. Week 9, Mahomes missed. Week 8, Mahomes missed. Tannehill had almost 24 in one game and almost 20 in another game. I'm sorry, guys. I get it. Like, in terms of talent, they're not comparable. In terms of fantasy points right now, you can make a case that Ryan Tannehill is a guy you should start over Patrick Mahomes next week.
I know we're going to get tweets about this.
That's fine. That's what we want.
No, I'm not mad
That's
about
what
it.
We want. That's what we want.
I know. This is
all I'm saying. I am looking at the numbers and I am looking at the matchups. Listen, I'm just saying. I don't know that Mahomes is 100%. I saw him in that game yesterday, kind of, you know, shaking that hand a little bit a few times. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, and he's going to have that X-ray, right? So he is having had X-rays. X-rays are involved. So
right.
That.
So we can assume that he's really not 100%. If you get X-rays, something's not right.
Something's wrong.
They're worried about something. Yeah.
All right. So as teams exit the playoff race and they've got guys who are banged up a little bit, worries about some of these guys maybe getting shut down, because that's going to have a definite impact on your fantasy roster if you were able to survive and get through to week 15. Or, you know, obviously there's still a game on Monday night, so you still maybe have a chance. I had 5 names on this list. One we can scratch out because Mike Evans pretty much is done. We know that. Other guys are a little bit uncertain and could have an impact. So I just want to get your thoughts on whether or not this is a realistic possibility and maybe what people should do if that happens. First up, we sort of talked about this, but Darius Geis is going to have an MRI on his knee. We'll see what happens. Washington has long since been bounced from the playoff race. This is a young player who has had now a history of knee injuries, even going back to college. I mean, he had a problem at LSU as well. any chance that Washington decides to fire him back up for the last couple of games of the season, or do they just sort of, you know, turn things over to their veteran?
Sure, if the injury turns out to be, you know, not as serious as we think it could be, you know, with the knee injury there, I would guess that, you know, they want to continue to try to get as much as they can out of Geist to see what they have. But I think we know by now when Geist is healthy, he's a damn beast.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, I would think they would lean towards shutting him down if this is going to turn into a multi-week injury for him, which is unfortunate because
it looked like he
was going to start taking over, not taking over the backfield there, because I think they always wanted to get Peterson involved, but he was definitely on track to, you know, get more than, you know, 10, 12 touches, I think.
Yep. I mean, Adrian Peterson is only rostered in like 44% of NFL.com leagues. I mean, he's out there in a lot of leagues.
Adrian Peterson, league winner in 2019.
Right. I mean, it is
Stranger
not impossible.
Stranger
it is not impossible. And I guess if you're really feisty, Chris Thompson. But yeah, I don't know that I would fully advise that.
One I want to add to this list real quick.
Yeah.
This is DJ Chark. He was.
Yeah, because he had a foot injury, I believe, yesterday.
Mike DiRocco, the Jags beat writer on Twitter, said that he was found. They saw him in a boot, and he was getting scooted around, which does not sound good.
So that means that,
with
like,
only 3 weeks left in the regular season, there's pretty much no reason for Chark to be out there.
That could be big things for T.D. Westbrook, because they're playing Oakland.
They've got the Raiders and the Falcons to finish out the fantasy playoffs.
T.D. and Conley are nice pickups this week.
Yeah,
out there.
Yeah. Jeez.
T.Y. Hilton, it seems like the Colts are sort of dancing around this thing with T.Y. Hilton, but it just feels to me like he's not coming back this year. I mean, and you mentioned this earlier, Graham, that, you know, when he first hurt that calf, he immediately thought his season was over. They waited. He came back out for that game against the Texans, did next to nothing, got re-injured. And I know, Fabs, it just feels like they're sort of waiting on him, but people keep asking me, like, if, you know, should they drop T.Y. Hilton? And I'm kind of like, look, unless the Colts say something officially, like, I can't really endorse that, but I'm just really skeptical he comes back.
I know. Yeah, I am too. There's really no reason for him to come back. And
yeah, they've fallen completely out of the playoff hunt now, pretty much.
Yep.
They would need to get really lucky.
They got to get
really
lucky.
What you're thinking about. So, you know, Zach Pascal, I think, you know, we talked about him as a sleeper on Friday's show against Tampa Bay, and he ended up having a pretty decent game. Marcus Johnson, though, had a big game. So if you're thinking about the Colts wide receivers coming up, now think about the scenario. Is Zach Pascal going to get the Lattimore treatment, which means Marcus Johnson's the better pickup now?
You know, I don't know. I don't know if the Saints will stay.
Assuming T.Y. is out, which I think at this point.
I don't know if the Saints are going to come into that game and say, we need to, you know, travel Lattimore on Pascal. They'd probably end up playing sides in that spot. And I think that this will just be a good game for Jack Doyle to have a nice
Who did
game.
Not have a good game yesterday.
Yeah, Jack Doyle.
First of all, two of the tight end plays that I was big on this week, Jack Doyle and Kyle Rudolph. Did nothing.
I was on both of those guys, too.
Nothing.
No, we all were. Yeah. I mean, we all were. Although, you know, we also were on Tyler Higbee.
That worked out
last night. And I, to be honest with you, you know, Gerald Everett, God bless him. If he misses the next couple of weeks, Tyler Higbee's going to be a top 10 tight end. The Cowboys are coming up.
This is his third great spot, because the Cowboys, we know what they want to do. They want to funnel everything towards the middle of the field, towards their tight ends.
Quit playing defense.
Yeah, well, they do a pretty good job on the boundary, Fabs. They do a really good job on the boundary, shutting down receivers.
So disgusting.
But this will be another good spot for Higbee.
Yeah, no, I think so. I mean, he's really slid in nicely since Gerald Everett has gone down.
Yep, and also, don't forget about David Njoku, as Akbar would say, because he's got Arizona coming up.
I know.
This week.
Although, speaking of tight ends, Vance McDonald.
But you know what's funny? Like, I was texting with Bob Harris, our pal from Football Diehards and SiriusXM. Yes, he did get hurt. But he hadn't done anything until that. And I says, God darn it. I've got Vance McDonald, and I could potentially play, like, you know, Kyle Rudolph, or there was another one. I'm like, what do I do? And he was like, yeah, stick with this guy. And I was like, I know. Why do we feel like, as great as the matchup is, that Vance McDonald is going to crush our hopes and dreams?
Because he's done it all year.
Because that's what he does. Even against the Cardinals, he could not get it done. And unfortunately, he got hurt. So
yeah. So he gave you 1.3 fantasy points.
Yeah.
He started him.
Yeah, he had a concussion, I think, in the early third, second half of that game.
Okay. Well, it wasn't great leading up to that. Josh Jacobs, another name to keep an eye on, right? Because he's having an MRI on that shoulder. He's had a fantastic rookie season. He was one of the rookies that his coach believed in him from the beginning of the year. I mean, from week one, John Gruden gave him a really nice workload, and he has really responded. But the Raiders They're at 6-7 right now. They're fading out of the playoff race. I mean, any chance that the Raiders just decide, hey, you know what? Let's just put our rookie in bubble wrap, and we'll just ride this thing out with, you know, some combination of Washington. Man,
if I were the Raiders, I would.
I would too. Josh Jacobs has obviously been their workhorse guy, and it just stinks because this next matchup against the Jags,
it's great.
Josh Jacobs would have just absolutely exploded on that defense because we just saw what Melvin Gordon, Austin Eckler, the tandem did there. They put up like what 50 combined PPR points or something like that. Just something ridiculous. Yeah, it's just unfortunate, but you know, maybe we'll get a quick turnaround and Jacobs will be fine. But it sounds like he's been playing through this like fractured shoulder.
Yeah,
and I don't know about you guys, but I don't think I'd want to play
that
through
seems pretty miserable.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't want to get those turtle shots before
that seems really bleeping miserable. Greg Olsen, another one who, you know, he's had concussion issues. I mean, this is a guy who seems to, and I'm not, this is not a criticism, kind of have one foot in the broadcast booth right now.
It does.
You know, he's called games, I think, during the bye week, and I think he's sort of trending that way. He's got, you know, a concussion. He's in protocol. Ian Thomas played pretty well for the Panthers yesterday.
Ian Thomas got 10 targets yesterday.
Yeah. And, like, the Panthers are essentially done. I wouldn't be surprised if we have seen the last of Greg Olsen. Certainly this year, maybe for his career at this point.
And if that happens, Ian Thomas is a nice streamer. I had talked about him last week as, like, a sort of under-the-radar play. They got Seattle coming up, man. Seattle cannot stop tight ends. So, like, this is where we're at.
By the way, I feel like, you know, because we spent so much time sort of picking on the Cardinals against tight ends that, you know, for a good portion of the season, the Seahawks sort of flew under the radar bad they were against
tight ends. Yeah, they stink too. So, I mean, we're looking at a Tyler Higbee, Ian Thomas potentially in week 15 as two very good plays.
Wow. Yeah. So this year, the Cardinals have given up 981 yards to tight ends. The Seahawks, 918.
Not that far behind.
Not far behind at all.
Cardinals have given up. How many more touchdowns, though, right?
Double. I mean, it's double.
It's doubled than some. So those are the guys. I don't know. There's probably some more guys out there that, you know, may be in danger of getting shut down. I feel like those are some of the marquee names that you should keep an eye on as we get to week 15 and beyond here. Quick rundown of some of the waiver wire picks. A.J. Brown, we mentioned, he's going to be very, very popular on waiver wires this week. Rashad Perriman is going to be popular, especially in the wake of Mike Evans' injury. DeAndre Washington is a name out there. I don't know what you guys throw in for Jalen Richard. Is it even worth it?
Washington got a lot of touches.
That's fine. Fine by me. Yeah. Let's see. Patrick Laird is still out there. Again, 12 fantasy points, really nothing to sneeze at if you're trying to fill a flex spot in the last couple of weeks. Mark Andrews, we didn't mention this, but Mark Andrews did get hurt yesterday for the Ravens. So I threw some combination of Hayden Hurst and Nick Boyle in there because the Ravens hoard tight ends like, you know, shut-ins with cans of cat food.
It did sound like Mark Andrews' knee injury is not that serious.
Right, which is good news.
So that's one to keep.
Good.
Yep.
That is good. So keep an eye on that. But if he can't go, Hurst seems like an interesting play.
I desperately need Mark Andrews to stay healthy.
You mentioned Ian Thomas.
Ian Thomas is there.
Marcus Johnson.
I got Marcus Johnson, Pascal. David Njoku's in there.
Raheem Mostert is in a lot of leagues. Yeah. He is not owned.
Go get him. I mean, at this point, you got to believe in Mostert. Again, Shanahanigans can rear his ugly head. But for now, believe in Raheem Mostert.
I'm so ready for Tevin Coleman to get 20 carries next week.
That's probably what's going to happen, too.
So go out and get some of those guys if you need them. It's been interesting, though, because, Graham, you've been talking about the fact that generally the waiver wire has been sort of barren. There haven't been, but,
man,
this week, there's the potential for some league winners to pop up.
There are. It's only because there's so many injuries. Outside of week one, the waiver wire has been really bad. Like, you could have gotten Chark or maybe John Brown was out there, or Terry McLaurin on a few waiver wires. But outside of that, there's been virtually no running backs on the waiver wire this year that have been like weekly starters outside of like a few spot start situations. This has been the worst year for the waiver wire, I think, in the last 4 or 5 years. Just because there's not been any, you know, legitimate like
impact running backs,
right,
too.
Right, exactly.
Like, I mean, like, you know, last year we had Lindsay. I mean,
there's usually a handful that are, you know, impact players, but there's not been this year.
Yeah, just it has not been particularly great. All right. I think that's it. I think we're done. We appreciate you listening and downloading as always. You know the drill. Tell two friends to tell two friends. Rate, review, and remember, be as picky with your dates as you are with your selfies. See you on Wednesday.